Everyone, welcome all of you that are visiting with us. We're delighted to have you. Welcome at O'Neill always and come back and be with us every opportunity that you have. It's good that we can be together today and to remember to pray and exhort and encourage one another. Betty Sue Christopher's at the hospital. Bless her heart. Her nose began to bleed. They couldn't get it stopped. She's over at ER right now and the family's with her and they want us to pray for her, along with Jimmy Moss, who's also there. And we surely want to pray that God will bless both of them in our prayers. And this morning, during our Bible class, Sister Diane Luter came forward. We were talking about children. She said that whenever they were bringing their children up, that they feel like they had not really dished them correctly. She was sorry for that, and she wanted us to pray for her, which we did. Let's all pray together. Eternal God, eternal for everlasting, you are God. We bow before you. We thank you for your gracious hand that's upon us. We pray that you will help us as we study your precious word that we'll hide in our hearts that we may not sin against you. We pray for Betty Christopher over at the hospital this morning. We pray that you'll be with her, be with Jimmy Moss. Bless them along with all the others that are ill. Those that are bereaved, bless all of them, Father, and we ask you to strengthen us all. Be with Diane and her family, and help us all to realize that when we make our mistakes, that we acknowledge them and seek to do right. We pray that you'll help me today, that as I preach to this wonderful congregation of thy people, that my preaching will not be in vain, because we know your word will return unto you as you want it to. But we pray that it reached down into all of our hearts, me as the preacher, all of our elders and deacons and preachers, all folks that are here today, that this message may resound in our hearts and help us, Father, to give attention to it. Please forgive us and strengthen us because we need your strength. We want to do what's right. And as Brother David King just asked you a few moments ago, help us, our Father, that we may get to heaven to be with you forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight we're having our singer. Would you please stand? Let's sing, God is so good. Is he? Let's express to him our joy that we have in our hearts. Let's everybody sing together. God is so good. Everybody.
God is so good.
He's so good to me. Jesus is real. Jesus is real. Jesus is real. He's so real to me. Wait just one moment. Jesus is real. He's so real to whom? To me. What will we do? Let's tell him. I praise his name. I praise his name. I praise his name. He's so good to me. Thank you very much. We'll get the other verse later. We're talking about this morning something that's really important. I read on the computer where, as the Bible says, that a man can get in a condition whereby God will not hear his prayer. And he made the statement. He made the statement that as far as prayer is concerned, that the Bible tells us that God hears not sinners, so all of us are sinners, therefore nobody's going to be heard by the Lord. And his statement, as he made it, was he said, I'm glad I don't even pray. Wouldn't that be a pitiful condition to be in? What about you and what about me? When we pray to God, will God hear your prayer? Listen to what the Word of God says. Harrison read to us two verses from Scripture. In Isaiah 59 and verses 1 and 2, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Don't ever think that his hand is so closed up that it cannot reach out and save. Neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Doesn't have any problem with hearing. Don't think that's the problem. It's not with God. But your, now that's, just stop there and look at it. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. I know God hears and knows everything. But what we're talking about from the scriptural point is God will not hear to respond to it, to bless you, and give you what you are asking him of, the request. In Luke 18, 9 through 14, Jesus tells us why it's so important to be humble and not self-righteous. He said, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, saying, God, I thank you that I'm not like this tax collector. Now, why is he given this instruction? He said, I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. The attitude. God is talking about your attitude. What's my attitude toward God? Why did Jesus give this account? Well, two men are going up into the temple. Where? In the temple. These two men are spoken of as a Pharisee and as a publican. Now look as he describes the Pharisee. He said he's the man that stand up. He thus prays with himself. Where is he? He's in the temple. He's in the temple praying. Good place to be. If your prayer is in keeping with God's will. And then he said, I'm thankful that I'm not like this tax collector. I'm glad, God, I'm not like him. Well, look what I'm doing, Lord. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. He's described himself. Jesus gave this parable for those who trusted themselves that they were self-righteous and despised others. Here's the other man. A publican. He stood afar off. And would not so much as to raise his eyes toward heaven. He beat his breast and he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the conclusion by our Lord. Here's what Jesus said about these two men who were in the temple, both of them praying. He says the publican, the tax collector, was recognized as being the one whom God heard and had mercy upon. And this man went down to his house justified being what he ought to be rather than the other. Why? Everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted. This attitude is seen so much in the Bible by great characters that are found therein. For example, in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15, remember Paul, he said he was the chief of sinners. He said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. What attitude did he have? An attitude of humility. He met God's conditions of pardon. Yet he knew what kind of man he was before. David, as he committed adultery with Bathsheba, in 2 Samuel 12, verse 13, Nathan told him that he was the one that he was talking about. What did David do? He recognized. So important for him to say, I have sinned against the Lord. Job, the sufferer, so great a loss. We find in Job chapter 1 and verse 21, after he lost all of this, what did Job say? The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all of this, Job did not sin. Mary, who sat at the feet of Jesus and listening as Jesus taught in Luke 10, 38 through 42. Martha said, "Why, won't you better come and help me to serve?" And the Bible tells us that Jesus rebuked Martha. "Martha, Martha, thou art encumbered about with much serving." Mary had chosen the good part. She knew where she wanted to be. She was there sitting at the feet of Jesus. Why? The attitude is to know more about the Lord. Does God hear your prayer? When you got up this morning, did you pray? How much time did you spend in your prayer? Do you think God heard your prayer? Boy, I tell you what. We know from the Bible in John chapter 9, verse 31, there was a man who had just experienced a great miracle upon himself. And they were trying to get him to tell him, and he told them over and over what had happened. And he said, "We know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of the Lord and doeth His will, him He heareth." That was from a man who had experienced the miracle. He knew something. What did he know? He knew the principles of prayer. We must pray when we pray as God teaches us. In Matthew 6, 9 through 15, the Bible gives us instruction. Jesus said, "After this manner, in this accord, pray to God." No wonder in Matthew 6, verse 10, one of the things that he stated was, "Pray that thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Friend, this earth, this world, is in great need of men and women who will pray to God, and their prayer be, "Lord, Your will be done in earth as we know that it is in heaven." God is aware of everything we say and do. Not even a sparrow can fall to the ground without God knowing, in Matthew 10, 29. Therefore, when we come before God in prayer, we want to make sure that we remember the words that we speak are words that are coming flowing from our hearts and speaking to God so that our prayers may be heard. What does it mean when you pray and God will not hear you? Wouldn't it be a terrible condition to be in this morning? You have a loved one you're concerned about, that maybe they're sick. You want to pray for them, but then you're not in any covenant relationship with God. Let's notice some passages this morning, gleaning something from them to help us to see how terrible it is to be separated from God because of the various things that we are guilty of, not because of God, but because of us. Jesus said, "Whenever you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, because they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by people." Can you imagine that? A person praying just so somebody can see them praying, and people saying, "Boy, that's a very religious person. That's an individual that's doing what? That's an individual that's really religious and praying unto God." And they're doing it just for the admiration of people. And Jesus said, "I assure you, they've got their reward. There's nothing else they're going to get. Their prayer was not heard." Why? Because they're praying to be seen of men and not by God. In the book of Isaiah 1, verse 15, a passage that is so important. Here we find that God says, "And when you spread forth your hands," in the old days, that was a customary way that people did. Whenever they would pray, they'd lift up their hands, spread them before the heavens above. "And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you." Can you imagine that? If you're standing there and you're praying, having your hands up to God, and then to know that God is saying, "I'm not going to hear you. I'm not going to pay attention to what you have to say." Why did He say that about the Israelites? He said, "When you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear." Let's repeat this over and over and over. But God said, "I'm not listening. I'm not hearing it to the point of giving you what you want." Your hands are full of blood. These people were guilty of blood being upon their hands. And until they got repentance and He calls upon, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Isaiah 1 verse 18. But the Bible says these people said, we will not. We'll not listen to God. And yet they're praying. Spreading forth their hands. Many prayers. Wouldn't that be terrible? To be in a condition where your prayer would not even be heard. In Proverbs 15:29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but He heareth the prayer of the righteous. We like to hear that. We like to know that God will hear prayer, but we need to remember that the prayer that God will hear to answer, that will be pleasing unto the Lord, comes forth from the heart of one who is a righteous person. No wonder James tells us in James 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We're having a problem with people even acknowledging that they're wrong. It's hard to get people to confess, acknowledge they're sinners. I tell you what, you don't find too many elders that'll do that. You won't find many preachers that'll do it. You won't find many deacons. A lot of older people, middle-aged people, a lot of people just won't do it. And yet God says, if you won't confess your sins, I'm not going to forgive you. In 1 John 1 verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we're wrong, we're wrong. The only way to get right is to correct the wrong that we've done. You couldn't find a passage more direct than Proverbs 28, verse 9. When the Bible says that God hates something, that means He despises it. Look what He says, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. God hates it. When I'm telling you what you to do, to admit when you're wrong, to confess it, ask my forgiveness, and you won't do it, your prayer is an abomination in the sight of God. John 9:31. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth His will, him He heareth. Who said that? That was a man who had experienced a great miracle. Did he tell the truth? Absolutely. No wonder it's so important for us to look to God. As I was studying this lesson that I've been asked to preach on, in Zechariah, there's a passage you don't want to forget. In Zechariah 7, 12 through 13, God says, yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law, and the words which the law, Lord of hosts, hath sent in His Spirit by the former prophets. What's He say? I've spoken to them, I've told them what to do, but they will not do it. Like Adam and stone. Now listen to what Zechariah says. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Therefore it is come to pass that as He cried and they would not hear, so they cried and I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts. That really hit. Here we are, knowing what God says, knowing what God tells us, but if we're not willing to do it, pay attention to His will, what happens? You can cry unto Him from now to the day that you die. He's not going to listen. In Psalm 66, 18 and 19, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Make that personal. If you regard evil or iniquity in your heart, I tell you this morning, friends, God will not hear. But verily God hath heard me. Why? He hath attended, given heed to the voice of my prayer, because I changed, I repented. In Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, remember, the Bible says that's what separates us from God. It's our sins. Peter writes about this in 1 Peter 3 and verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. God's face is turned away from any individual that continues in evil and will not change. Repent and change. No wonder we find in Proverbs 1, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Why? They won't seek me according to what I tell them. They're going about their own way. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. I told them, and yet they would not do it. And I will not answer them until they change their attitude. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your own lust. James 4 and verse 3. Prayer is for the help of God to help us, that we may be men and women as God wants us to be, and we mess up. We do, all of us do. But what should we do when we've realized that we're not right? Get right. Ask God to forgive us and correct it in our lives. Even with the husband and wife relationship, prayer can be hindered. Likewise, you husbands, you dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. How sad it is to read those words. Woe then, Jesus says, unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore you shall receive the greater damnation. Pretending. Not enough to pretend. You got to be genuine, consecrated, righteous before God. Beware of the scribes, which desire to walk in long robes and love greetings in the markets and the highest seats in the synagogues and the chief rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses and for a show make long prayers. They're praying. How are they praying? They're praying long prayers. But why? Just for the show. The same shall receive greater damnation. Luke 20, 46 through 47. And Jesus mentions in Matthew 6, 5 through 8, the prayers of some were just to be seen of men, using vain repetition. Much speaking, but doesn't mean anything. Why? It's not sincere. God's asking you to be humble. He wants me to be humble. What is the hope of the hypocrite? Though he hath gained when God taketh away his soul, will God hear his cry when trouble cometh upon him? Job said in Job 27, 8 through 9, and the answer is no. Wherefore the Lord said, forasmuch as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart from me. What's he saying? With my lips I'm singing, I want to be a worker for the Lord, but with my actions, I won't do anything. What? But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 19. We should be very concerned, therefore, by our relationship with God. My question again, when you pray, when you pray, when you pray, when you pray, and when I pray, God hear us? Will He hear you today? Will He hear me? It's a great privilege to be a child of God. We have a relationship that's so important to us. When you pray, does God hear you to answer and give you that request? Let me suggest you three things and the lesson will be yours. Number one, nations that forget God are punished. God then says in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, 14, if my people that are called by my name will turn from their wicked ways and pray to God, God said, I will hear from heaven. I will do what, Lord? He said, I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. You think America needs it? I do. How are we going to get back right? Is do what God said. If my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. But He won't until that's removed. Churches need to repent. In Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, the seven churches of Asia, to many of them you hear God saying, after He tells them what they have done that was wrong, He tells them to repent, or I'm going to come and remove your candlestick. Individuals, me, you, each of us must repent. In Luke chapter 13, verse 3, our Lord Jesus Christ said, unless you repent, you shall perish. In conclusion this morning, what about your prayer? What about my prayer? I was so touched when Diane came forward a while ago. Her heart was aching, admitting a fault in her life. My friend, what does it take to get you to move? To admit that you're wrong when you are? To say, I'm sorry. I really want to do right. God, be my helper. I'm praying to you. Help me to resolve whatever problem I may have in life. If you've not been faithful to God, your prayers will not be heard. They will not be answered. God said that. If you regard iniquity in your heart, your prayers are no good. When I went by the hospital this morning and prayed for Jimmy and for Betty Sue, and early in the morning, when I was up studying this morning, I got on and I prayed to God for all of you. Specifically, some of you have asked me to remember to pray for you. And then I realized, guy, what about yourself? What about your life? Is it really what it ought to be? I've made my mistakes. I'm sorry. I confess them to you. I want to be right. Heaven is such a wonderful place. I don't want to miss it. And I sure don't want you to miss it either. I know that God will not hear our prayers. If we're not living in keeping with His will, at least trying, and when we make our mistake, admitting them, asking His forgiveness, asking for help from brothers, that's what it's all about. In James 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. That's why we're here this morning. What about you? What about me? Does God hear our prayers today? This beautiful song that we're singing, while Jesus whispers to you, come, sinner, come. He's whispering now. He's saying, come. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And I know that He will. And what a wonderful thing it is that we can have that assurance if only we admit when we're wrong. If you're not a Christian, won't you become one? And if you're a child of God and you're not ready to go to heaven, you're not even praying right. Get yourself right with God, won't you? He's given you this great and wonderful opportunity. We're here to help and assist you any way we can. The invitation of Jesus is yours. What decision will you make? When we stand before the great I Am, what will He say to us? I hope and trust and pray that if you're in this assembly and you're not ready to meet Him now, that you'll come right now, obey Him while together we stand and while we sing to Him.